Good evening, or morning, or afternoon, or whatever it is, whenever you're listening to this. This is the Ramble Room, and it's only half of the Ramble Room today. It's just Ken and myself.
It's the masculine side today, yes. The toxic part.
Yes, the gross, toxic masculinity portion of the show. And today we've got kind of a subject that I find very important, Ken finds very important, and it has to do with the Oath Keepers. They've been getting a bad rap on your CNN. And
I think all rap is bad.
Well, some of it's good. Some of it's good.
Yeah, I've heard that. Anyway.
So we thought it would be kind of interesting to give you some insight on what the Oath Keepers stand for and kind of give their side of the story, even though you can't find their side of the story on YouTube anymore because they've taken them down and calling them racist and radicals and conspiracy theorists and putting out false information. But what is the truth about the Oath Keepers? And we're hoping to touch on that today and maybe get some people informed about it.
So how do we know? Well, I was contacted, and I'm not even sure how it got started. But sometime in the early spring of 2009, I don't even know how they found me, but Stuart Rhodes, who is the founder of Oath Keepers, and some others were kind of doing a little bit of recruiting, and I suppose they went through Facebook and looked for all of the right-wing wackos, and I was in the list of the top five, probably. At any rate, I was a founding member of Oath Keepers when they first started. And I want to say it was March or April when I got involved of 2009. One of the reasons I remember is that I think it was about a year later we did a Tea Party event here in Sheridan and I was asked to speak. And one of the things that I spoke about was the Oath Keepers and who they are. And since that time, of course, the press has just been dumping on them and telling you all about who they are, what kind of racists, what kind of wackos, right-wing extremists that are out to just start another revolution. And the truth of the matter is quite different from that. But as Joe alluded to earlier, if you go to YouTube and try to find, I watched a video from them just two or three days ago, and they were trying to answer some current charges, which we'll get into for a minute. And it's already been taken down. How are we supposed to heal the wounds? How did Biden put it when he said he wanted to put America back together, or he wanted to be the... You won't even let one side speak.
Right. You're not healing anything. You're not becoming... You're not bringing people together by silencing one side of the story.
They're trying to use a page out of my book, which is, if I don't agree with your premise, there's not going to be a discussion.
Right.
Because...
But that might work on a one-on-one basis, yeah. But as a country, that's just not how things roll.
So what Oath Keepers was Stuart was watching both sides of the political spectrum, both the Democrats and the Republicans, especially post 9/11, had vastly overstepped their bounds, largely over the Emergency Powers Act and other things. And he just said, you know, we need to get the people who are on the front lines, the police officers, sheriff's deputies, military personnel, we need to get them together and remind them of what the Constitution says and get them to swear an oath, or actually reaffirm the oath that they already took,
right,
that they would support and defend the Constitution. And there are a lot of possible commands that have come out in the past, will come out again. And Stuart Rhodes and the rest of us were just saying to these people, look, you're the ones that are responsible. You're the ones with the guns, frankly. And Stuart puts it that way. So he said, I went for the people with the guns because there is just an undeniable truth of life that mean people rule.
Yeah.
You know, nice people just want to stay in their house and mind their own business. And then if they do that too much, mean people get in the way. So the only way to resist that is to have some means of leveling the playing field, right, which is what the Second Amendment is all about.
We need mean people on both sides.
Yes. We need aggressive people anyway because... You know, an object in motion stays in motion until acted on by an equal and opposite force. And if the evil force is very powerful, then so must also be what we think is the right force. So they have, the Oath Keepers have 10 things that they promise each other and you as American citizens that they will not obey. They will not obey unconstitutional orders. And I was going to read through them. There are 10 of them. I was going to read them through them one at a time and allow Joe an opportunity to respond to that. And then I'll explain to him why he's
wrong or right.
Wrong or right. You're probably right. The very first one. And the other side of this, too, is so that you guys who are out there and don't know anything about Oath Keepers can listen to what they say and say, now, is that really radical? So I want you to listen to these radical things that we promise to each other as Oath Keepers. Number one, we will not obey orders to disarm the American people.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just the Constitution. So basically, yeah, I don't need to add much more to that. That
shall not be infringed. But you think about it, if they decided, okay, we're going to go out and round up the guns, as they did in New Orleans,
right,
at Katrina, under the auspices or under the idea that this is an emergency, therefore we have these emergency powers, and just in the case of an emergency, well, how many emergencies can we have? This last emergency with the stupid COVID thing's been going on for over a year, and now we got another version of the bird flu coming around.
Right. Yeah. When are they going to start knocking on the door? And my question always is, who's going to start coming knocking at the door?
Precisely. So Stewart's idea was, well, first thing they probably do is try to get police, local sheriff's departments, maybe National Guard troops to go do those things. So he began to infiltrate those ranks and encourage these people, stand up for the Constitution. These orders would be unconstitutional and therefore unlawful, and you don't have to obey them, and we shouldn't.
Right.
Well, the problem is, now we have these little blue-headed UN troops, or Chinese troops, so they come in and they're just trying to patrol their own property because now they're buying up huge, huge tracts of land.
Huge tracts of land.
So that first one, we will not obey orders to disarm the American people. That's very important because, as you well know, any totalitarian regime, that's the first thing they do is go disarm the people and then they can have their way with them.
Well, and a dog without teeth is not a very scary dog.
No.
And that's what our guns are. That's our teeth.
Yep. How many teeth you got?
None. I don't have any teeth.
Boating accidents. Number two, we will not obey orders to conduct warrantless searches of the American people.
This is going to be basically the same answer. I mean, it's right there in the Constitution. These guys are just standing up for the Constitution, which is what America, the United States of America, is about. It's everything that you hold near and dear is protected by the Constitution.
It's also under attack by such things known as red flag laws.
Right.
Without due process, just because your ex-wife thinks that maybe you might be dangerous, they can come, take whatever you got, and we'll sort it out later. Well, the later never comes.
Right. Right.
So there's that issue. Pretty radical. Number three, we will not obey orders to detain American citizens as, quote, unlawful enemy combatants, unquote, or to subject them to a military tribunal.
So no concentration camps. Concentration camps are out.
Yeah, for American citizens.
Right.
One of the benefits of American citizenship is that you, by the Constitution, have due process.
Right.
You're going to be tried by a jury of your peers. You're not just... That's one of the things about...
So no Nazis is pretty much what we're saying. We're not going to do this the way the Nazis did, where they come round you up and put you wherever they want you without a trial.
Well, they're going to try, but we're trying to say that they're not going to be able to lean on at least American military and law-keeping forces to accomplish that.
You can lean on that wall of lead.
Yeah. You know, you look at that and you think, you know, why do we have all these people in Guantanamo Bay?
Right.
Well, we got them down there because if we have them on U.S. soil, then they're entitled to other benefits. And, you know, war is a bad thing. is a horrible thing. But war is war. And the more you try to apply rules to war, the more you're going to make war worth it, and the longer war lasts.
Right. War is common. War is constant. The most... it's constant. Yep. There are moments of peace brought to you in part by war.
And because mean people rule. And
right.
Certain mean people get into control, and then the war stops for a while until those mean people show their meanness.
Right.
That's the human condition. Number four. We will not obey orders to impose martial law or a quote-unquote state of emergency on a state. I keep getting the same look. You know, they're gonna be like,
this is common sense. It's just basically common sense. It's the Constitution.
You keep hearing in the news, I hear it every day, where the left are coming out and they're saying, the GOP just doesn't understand anything about democracy or how a democracy works. People, we don't live in a democracy.
No,
thank God. We don't live in a
democracy. Is pretty much mob rule.
Yes.
And we live in a republic.
Constitutional republic. And as such, the states are autonomous, and any powers not vested specifically in the federal government are reserved for the states. But the states have gotten lazy and ceded all kinds of that power, and we're beginning to reap some of the evil from that. We will not obey orders, this is number five, we will not obey orders to invade and subjugate any state that asserts its sovereignty.
What about California?
It's interesting that as you talk about California, and it, you know, it started on the left coast, this wave of, well, actually on both coasts, but California was the first to go south, and then they infected Oregon and they infected Washington. Now it's moving east, and you've affected Arizona and New Mexico. And I just read an article this morning about how the American West is moving left.
Right. Moving to that purple side of things.
Yeah. And Wyoming is no different. And for those of us who live in Wyoming and love it, you got to understand that when you live in a state with roughly 500,000 people in it, and they got two senators, that if you're out there trying to tip the balance by a few of them, that's a state you're going to target, because it takes a lot fewer people to upset the balance. So we are under assault here. Number six, we will not obey any order to blockade American cities, thus turning them into giant concentration camps.
Chaz. Yeah, man, these guys don't sound radical to me at all. This sounds like, you know, they're looking out for your constitutional rights.
The genuine threat of what absolute power can do when corrupted absolutely.
And it looks like they're looking at history and saying, this is what could happen if we don't stand up for these rights.
This is the path. These are the things they're going to attempt. And so Stuart went out and he began to educate people. Look, this is how they do it. The they being any sort of, I want to say oligarch, but any sort of person is going to set themselves up in authority, or any globalist group of people. You have the elitists who have basically everything, and then you have the masses for whom the scraps are sent just to keep...
And socialism.
Yeah.
That's what socialism is.
Number seven, I think, is an important one, and we were just talking about this historical context. Right here in Wyoming, in World War II, this happened. Number seven, we will not obey any order to force American citizens into any form of detention camps under any pretext.
What was it, Heart Mountain?
Heart Mountain.
Yeah, with the Japanese.
Yeah, they rounded
Japanese American citizens.
Rounded up American citizens with Japanese blood and forced them into these places because they didn't threaten. And these people are saying, look, this has happened before right here on our own soil.
Right.
And I've been to the Heart Mountain detention camp, and I've also been to Dachau in Germany. And when you go through that and you look at that and think about it, that's very sobering. And then you start hearing all the stories about, and they're not necessarily confirmed, but DIA, which is in Nebraska, almost. But you go to DIA, and they talk about the underground tunnels and all of the facilities that are in there. And quite frankly, I have no reason to doubt it, and have seen enough similar things in other places to think, sure, it's possible.
Right.
Part of the military training that we did in S2 was how do we hold prisoners of war? How do we detain them? How do enemy combatants, all the other things, and how do we handle masses?
Right.
And so that training has been gone on, and the people that are behind this sort of thing who would do these nefarious objects understand that, and if they have any plans at all, which I believe they do, then they're going to have some provisions laid in. Number 8, we will not obey orders to assist or support the use of any foreign troops on U.S. soil against the American people to quote-unquote keep the peace or to quote-unquote maintain control.
Yeah, that's a scary one.
It really is.
That one's terrifying.
It is. When we went to Desert Storm, there were a group of about 5 or 6 of us NCOs that got together, and we knew that the UN had a lot of active troops in theater and doing different tasks, different situations, and there was a lot of talk about U.S. forces being submitted to UN control, and we swore amongst ourselves that we would not do it.
Right.
And I wholeheartedly believe that's true. Well, people say, well, that's a little far-fetched. Well, what was the very next thing that happened after Desert Storm? A little place called Somalia.
Oh, yeah.
We had U.S. troops there, including I'll just call him a cousin of mine. And Glenn was sent to Somalia, and they had to wear blue helmets.
Yeah, UN on the
front. They were under UN control. There's no way in hell.
Right, and those UN soldiers from different countries, if you don't know what UN is, it's the United Nations, and it's soldiers from different militaries. And they do not care about our Constitution, and they will come in. If they're told to, they'll come in and police us, and they don't care about your rights or your Constitution. They're just following orders, and they get to go home when everything's over with.
So when you hear about things like a global tax, well, why do we need a global tax? We need a global tax so we can support things like the UN.
Right.
Who are going to
enforce...
Let's
make that more powerful.
Yeah, they're going to enforce international law, which belittles the U.S. Constitution, belittles independent states and their rights to exist. It's not a pretty thing. Item number 9, we will not obey any orders to confiscate the property of the American people, including food and other essential supplies.
That's, the Revolutionary War was...
I think there's a constitutional amendment that addresses that. Pretty radical, though.
Oh, yeah.
To stand up and say, I don't care how bad the hurricane gets.
Yeah, these guys are out of their minds with all this freedom
crazy
stuff.
Crazy right-wing wackos. Item number 10, the last one, we will not obey any orders which infringe on the right of the people to free speech, to peaceably assemble, to petition their government for a redress of grievances.
Now see this one right here, this one's happening.
Yes.
And that in and of itself, that last one just kind of seals the deal. I like these guys. Because, you know, on a college campus, you can't speak your mind. On social media, you can't speak your mind.
Yeah.
These
people themselves wanted to go out. Stuart Rhodes put up a show where he wanted to make the case, and they got, I forget her name, Sorrell is her last name, their attorney, and they just tried to make their case about what happened on January 6th. That was immediately taken down from YouTube.
Right.
You're not even allowed an opportunity to face your accusers and say your side of it?
Yeah, no. You're just guilty. To the left, everybody who voted for Trump or anybody that believes in the Constitution and freedom and personal responsibility, those people are just the enemy. You don't have to listen to those people.
Yeah, and
we'll protect you from having to hear those
people. And you can't.
Yeah.
You can't listen to them. So if Oath Keepers, for example, and I just, for the record, I was a member of Oath Keepers for 2 to 3 years, and then I did not maintain my membership. as in any group, there are some hotheads out there who get a little bit out of line, and you're going to find that wherever you go. We got several of them in Congress, AOC, Rashida Tlaib. There are several several wacko hotheads that are not a good example of the majority of the people there. But before you go making up your mind about the Oath Keepers and who they are, these are three percenters, and I know you know what three percenters are, but the story goes back to the Revolutionary War, where 97% of the people didn't want anything to do with war. And it only took about 3% of the people to say, look, we're going to have to do this or we're going to live forever on our knees.
Right.
And so the people that are willing to stand up and make a difference and do what has to be done, they're commonly three percenters. And even when I was still in the military 25 years ago, occasionally you'd see soldiers coming out with a little numeral three patch. And I love those guys. They're the guys you can count on. The guys that are carrying Oath Keepers identification cards, I have mine in front of me. That's where I read these things from. And I'll probably go back and rejoin.
Well, and I would recommend to anybody listening, if you're hearing all this stuff on social media and just the media in general, try to find some information about them by yourself.
Get it firsthand.
Right.
Don't listen to what the people on the left are telling you they say.
And I know that it's kind of hard out there right now to find information because it's all being taken away from us. But if you get a chance, look into this. These aren't bad guys. And I'm sure some of these people have done bad things. But for the majority, these are men that wore the uniform, took the oath, and they're just standing up for your constitutional rights. That's the majority. There's a bad egg in every in every batch. But these guys, it seems like, you know, they're good men standing up for good things.
They are, and they're pretty well educated. Stuart Rhodes himself, I want to say Yale Law, one of the big law schools. We're not a bunch of hayseed idiots that are out there with itchy trigger fingers. Quite the contrary. Many of us have been involved in armed conflict and understand in a way that nobody else does the gravity of war, the gravity of combat, and we want to see that it doesn't happen again. And one of the ways we make sure it doesn't happen again is we remain strong.
Right.
Reagan proved that.
Well, and, you know, a government that's scared of its people is a government that kind of backs off.
Kept in check.
Yeah.
And a government that does not fear its people quickly becomes overbearing and oppressive and
starts killing its citizens.
Guess what we got? We're really close, man.
Yeah, we are.